Let the church say amen. Amen. Excuse me, Oscar. Sorry about the mix-up there. My mind was, I guess, somewhere else. Nevertheless, we have to get our mind and stay focused on the Lord, including me. I get distracted from time to time as well as you do, so no harm and no foul, as they say. We got it right. Let the church once again say amen, because God is good. And all the time, God is good. God could have taken us away from here, but He has chosen to leave us here. And this morning, if you were not in the Bible class, you're going to hear almost another message along those same lines from the Bible class. But we don't repeat the Bible class every time we have worship service, so you need to get to Bible class. That's my message this morning for you. This morning, God, once again, God is good and God has blessed all of us. And let us take a few moments now as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray with me, if you will. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning because You have left us and given us another opportunity to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. Realizing that today is Your day, O Lord, and we thank You for all You have done for us from our early existence down to this present moment. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, that Your will for our lives has been done up until this point, O Lord, and we just pray and ask You continually, O Heavenly Father, that if it be Your will, You would continue to bless us and give us more opportunities to serve Thee. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the blessing of this day. Thank You for the blessings of yesterday, and we pray for the blessings that they may come to us tomorrow as well. We pray this morning and thank You for this Church of Christ, and we pray for the churches of Christ, especially those who are holding the bloodstained banner up. We pray for them as well. We pray for our leaders in this congregation as well as their family members. We pray for the brethren who have had a part in this service up to this point. And we pray for their families, and we pray for those who shall have a part in these services after this point as well, from this point on. Thank You, O Heavenly Father. And Lord, we come praying for the sick and the shut-in, especially those of the household of faith. We just pray and ask You that if it be Your will, O Lord, You would continue to bless them, that they may continue to heal and get stronger and be able to come out and be with us once again. Heavenly Father, we pray for the people who are suffering through the fire damage out in California. We pray for the people who are suffering from the effects of the bad weather, the severe weather all over this world, including those overseas who are being flooded, O Heavenly Father, for they had as much rain in 3 days as they normally have in 3 months. We just pray, O Lord, that all will be survivable and that through You, You know what You're doing, Lord, and we're not questioning that. We just ask You to continue to bless and continue to see us through. Father, we thank You this morning for those who are here, and we pray for those who may not be here or who may be on their way, or as well as those who are unable to be with us, O Lord. Thank You for everything, O Lord, and it is in the name of Your Son, Jesus, we continue to pray and ask for all of these and other blessings. Amen. This morning, the right book is the book of Judges, chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5, and we'll reread those in a few moments. This morning, we want to talk about You Have Not Obeyed. In today's text, we find an angel of God talking to the Israelites. Explaining why God made the choice He made on their behalf. God does not always let us know why or why not He takes a particular action, but He certainly has given to us how we should do and how we should live. Since He does not always explain to us, let me make a suggestion to you this morning, if I may. I suggest that you live your best to meet Him up there. And once you get face to face with Him, then you can ask Him about your particular circumstance. But you got to live right to get there to ask Him. Once you have decided to live right, your life will never be the same anymore. Because living right requires a bit more on our part than it does to live wrong. See, when you live wrong and you don't obey the Lord, you run the risk of running and hiding and peeping and ducking and dodging. But if you live right, God will help you to, the Bible will help you to live right, I should say. So let us take a look at these Israelites and see what was going on. God punished those who disobey. One sure thing we as children of God should by now know. We should have come to know that God may not tell us why or why not. He has chosen a particular action or a particular course for us, but He certainly has already told us what we are supposed to do and how we should live. He has told us through His record. In Revelation chapter 1 in the verses number 3, the Bible says, "Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep these things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." We must not only read and hear, we must also keep in mind what we are to do as it is written in the Word of God. So when we look at our text this morning, in verse number 1 of chapter 2 of the book of Judges, we see these words. "And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant or my agreement with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this?" We are told by Jesus in the book of John in chapter 16 and verse number 13, "Howbeit when the Spirit," and I want you to notice this part if you will, church, "Howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he speak shall hear he speaketh, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Now what are you saying there? Just a minute, if I can just explain. As I told you before, the Comforter was sent by God to teach the apostles how that they may guide us in the truth. Have you ever been in a situation that caused you to ask this question? Is this the right or is this the wrong way, Lord? Jesus has the answer to us as He spoke to His believers in John chapter 8 and verse number 31. "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." And then verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In our text, Israel know the truth of what God wanted. But once again, in verse 2, he explained to them what they were to do. "And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this?" Why did you not do what I told you to do, in other words? Why didn't you tear down the altars? Why didn't you break down their altars that they had placed there? Why didn't you not do this? Why didn't you hear my voice, is what the Lord is asking. Why did you not do what I asked you to do? We are sometimes just like these people. We get in our minds that God doesn't really mean what He said to me. He doesn't really want me not to have this thing or that thing. We need to understand that God knows what He is doing. God knows all about our lives and our ways and our actions. And when you think about it, church, isn't God good? God is good to us, and He just asked us for a little bit. He asked us to come to church on Sunday mornings for about 2 hours. That's all. Just about 2 hours. From about 10 till about noon, and a few minutes passed. And I try to make sure that you get out on a timely basis when I'm up here. But some of us, we'd rather stay home and sleep. Or this time of the year, we'd rather stay home and wash and wax the car. Or we'd rather not come to church because church doesn't have anything for me. I can get by all by myself without church. Well, I got news for you this morning. You won't know the will of God unless you study the Word. And as in Revelation told you, you've got to read it and you've got to hear it. Hear those words. We get in our mind that God really means something different than what He said. So we go for it on our own. And when we do that, we usually find out the hard way that God knows best for us. This is why it's so very important for us to pray about everything according to Philippians 4 and verse number 6. And you know what? Prayer is so very easy. Praying is so very easy, and it can give us so much if we just pray a little bit and ask God for everything that we think we need, we ask God for it. He's going to supply our needs, but we need to ask Him to help us to get along through this life. You know, life is not easy. This life is not an easy life. It sometimes behooves the Christian folk even to understand what God really wants of us. But I can tell you something. Everything that God wants of us is written in His record. Watch the text in verse number 3. He said, "Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you. But they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you." In verse 4, "And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept." Now, they didn't do what God told them to do, and sometimes we get just like that. I think that God should allow me just a little leeway, we think in our minds. I think that God should allow me just a little bit more of doing it on my own. I think that God doesn't really mean what He said when He said what He said. I think that God doesn't understand me. I think that God it needs to let me handle my own business. Have you ever been in that situation where you ask God, "Why me, Lord? Why me, or why this, or why that?" And I ask you the question, why not? I ask you to understand that God is going to punish those who disobeyed Him. I understand that you think that because you are a Christian, nothing bad is supposed to happen to you. I'm not saying that bad things are going to happen to you. I'm simply saying you need to understand that God knows what He is doing. And so when we think about it, it's very important that we learn to pray and ask God to get us through situations that we find ourselves in. So then God always proves His children. We find the Lord explaining through His angel just why He is allowing these people who are enemies to Israel to continue to live there. And once again in the text of chapter 1 verses 2 through 3 and verse number 2 as we just read, He explains why He's not keeping His promise made to their ancestors. He said He would never break His covenant with them. But in the verse we find that He is breaking His covenant to them. God does not break His promises. We break our promises to Him. Any breaking, we break, and not God. Israel simply did not follow His instructions. In verse number 2, He told them, He said, "You have not obeyed. You have not obeyed My voice." And then He asked, "Why have you done this?" Then in verse number 3 where He issues His decision to the children of Israel. And His decision was simply, "I'm not going to take them away from this land. I'm going to leave them in this land." So what are you saying there? I'm saying simply the very sin of disobedience would become their punishment. God told them to tear down their altars and not make any agreements with the inhabitants of the land He gave unto Israel. But they did not listen to God, so that God told them, the inhabitants of this land shall be as thorns in your side. How many times have the very thing that you are asking God to remove, you cause it to be left by you? In other words, they would become a source of continuous trouble unto these Jewish people. Since God today does not always tell us why this or that takes place, but He certainly warns us of the consequences of our actions. As in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, where we are told, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." This is plain. Isn't this plain, church? This is very plain to see that in the Word of God is helping us to make our choice. Death equals hell. Eternal life equals heaven. There's no need for God to tell us not to sin, for He tells us what the results of sin will be and what His gift is to us. So it's left up to us to make a choice. Now sometimes, when God allows us to make choices, we don't do a very good job all the time. We sometimes make bad choices. And bad choices can follow us throughout our lives sometimes. And you know what that means? That simply means that you have made a bad choice. God didn't necessarily do it to you, but you made a bad choice. So we've got to learn to choose. Do you recall how that Peter was given a hard lesson in Luke chapter 22, around about verse number 31, and where Jesus told him that Satan wanted to sift him like wheat? But Jesus said, "But I prayed for you." Prayer always good. Jesus prayed it because He knew the value of prayer. So He told Peter He had offered prayer on his behalf, that his faith shall not fail him. Just like Peter, sometimes we don't know how weak we really are. And we never know when we may be tested by God. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying very simply, we should be as the Word of God tells us in Matthew 24 and verse number 44. "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man may cometh." The Son of Man cometh. So when I think about it, it behooves us to also be ready. It behooves us to know what God is expecting of us. And how do you find out what God is expecting of you? You go to His Word. The Word of God. And I don't care how many books on how many subjects are written, there's nothing like the Bible. For the Bible not only tells you how to live, it tells you how to conduct your living. It tells you how you can get from earth to glory. It tells you what to expect, but it doesn't give you exact directions on what you should make a decision about. That's up to you. God has already given us the choices, but you have to make the decision. So God proves His children. God also prepares us for battle. There are battles we are going to face, just as the Israelites were going to be facing from their enemies. In our lives, sometimes our worst enemy is, guess who? Ourselves. Sometimes our worst enemies are the same person we get up with and that we lie down with each and every night and each and every day. Sometimes when we think about it, and you ask yourself the question, how can I be my own worst enemy? Well, I'll tell you, in Romans chapter 7, somewhere around about verse number 23, the Bible tells us, we'll start actually with verse number 22. The Bible tells us, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." But wait a minute, I want you to watch verse 23. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Thank God that He has prepared for us. He prepares us to fight these battles. You see, when I get in trouble with myself, I have no one to blame but me. When I get in trouble off my own accord, I have no one to blame but me. You see, I have learned in this life that to make the right choice is a good thing, but to make the wrong choice is not such a good thing. And I asked the question this morning, what was He talking about when He says, another law in my members warring against the law in my mind? Well, I'll tell you what He was talking about. He was talking about when He wants to do right, evil is always present. When He wants to do right, He can't, for evil is warring against the goodness in Him. So I tell you, church, we have to learn to pray. We have to learn to pray because praying is good for us. It's good for us to know God through prayer. And I just want to say this morning that when Jesus went to the cross, we have been prepared through His going to the cross. We can be saved from sin because Jesus went to the cross. Many today have not come to the realization that they are even in a battle. They take for granted that sin is supposed to be their life's work. Romans chapter 9 and verse number 27, the apostle wrote, I buffet my body and I make it my slave, least possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. What good does it serve us to know right from wrong and then not at least attempt to teach it to ourselves as well as others? What good does it serve the preacher to preach to others how to run this race with patience, but then doesn't follow his own preaching, therefore disqualifying himself from receiving his very own crown? What good does it do for you to come to church each and every Sunday and not hear the Word of God as it is being preached and taught unto you? What good does it do for you to know the truth and not follow the truth? What good does it do for you not to help someone else to learn the truth? So before you ask God to explain His actions to us, before you ask the Lord why, just remember, God does not always explain what He chooses to do. He doesn't have to explain it to us. He allows us to live on this earth, but the running of it is still His. He has prepared us by leaving us specifics on what to do and how to do. Words like in James 4 and 7, where He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And He tells us how to dress for battle each and every day. He says in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse number 11, that we are to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then verses number 14 through 17 tells us what pieces we ought to dress up in. Turn with me, if you will, over to Ephesians very quickly as I hasten to get through this lesson this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse number 14, if you will. In Ephesians verse 6 and chapter 6 and verse 14, he says, well, let's start with 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In verse number 18, now this one we don't have to put on, but we ought to hear it just the same. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto all the perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now I tell you something, church. What God is telling, what the Word of God is telling us is very simply. We've got to dress up each and every day so we can face the wiles of the devil. And you know the devil has plenty of arrows and darts to throw at us. And if you think that he won't toss them at you, you've got another thing coming. If you think that the devil can't make you disobey God, you've got another thing coming. He can dress things up to make the wrong look right. And if you're weak enough, you won't pick up on the righteousness that God has. You've got to be studied in the Word of God. You've got to know what God wants from us. You've got to understand that just like those Israelites, we've got to learn to accept what God tells us to do. He told them, He said, don't make any agreements. Don't make any contract with them. Don't do anything with them. Don't form a league with them. But for some reason, in verse number 2 once again, where He says, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. You know, we might be asked that same question. We're going to be asked that same question one day when we face the Lord. Why have you done this? Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be as thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare unto you. God can turn what we do wrong and turn it against us. And God knows what He is doing. I trust God before I trust any man. I trust God to get it right because I know He's already gotten it right. So when I think about it, and I look at this matter with my right mind, in the right frame of mind that I should be in, I understand what God was explaining to them. You didn't do what I told you. I didn't tell you what not to do, but I told you what to do. So He tells us what we ought to do, so He shouldn't have to tell us what we don't not to do, because He's given us a choice. He's given us a reason to make a choice. If I told you, bring me a cup of water over there. Don't ask me if I want a glass. I already said, bring me a cup of water. And I really don't care what you bring it in, just as long as you bring me the water. So God had told them what to do. So He didn't have to tell them what not to do, because He said, you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. And I say to you this morning, when God tells us, through Jesus Christ, whom He sent to yonder's cross, He saved us from our very own sins. He allowed us to receive salvation, freedom from sin, if you will. So what I say to you this morning is very simple. Do what the will of God calls for. Do what the will of the Lord asks of us to do. And then you'll be all right if you continue to do that. And before I finish up this morning, I just wanted to let everybody know, I tell you each and every Lord's Day about the board. So I got to tell you about the board this day. You came through last week. I want to know I give you the credit for coming through last week, but I also want to let you know, can you do it again this week? Can you do it next week? Can you continue to do it every week? Because now we know you can. So continue to serve right the God that you serve. Continue to serve Him righteously. Continue to live righteously that you may be blessed. That you may receive your very own crown of wisdom, a crown of life if you live right. I thank you this morning that God has blessed us to be here. I thank God this morning, and I thank you for being here, but I thank God for blessing us and bringing us here. You know, we didn't have to be here this morning, but God left us here. Just like with those Israelites. God didn't move them anymore because He gave them what He had promised to give them. But it was them who broke the covenant or the promise. They were told not to do something and they did what they wanted to do. So I ask you the question this morning, are you doing what God tells you to do, or are you doing what you want to do? If you're doing what you want to do, I'm going to put a big stop sign up for you and tell you to stop, look around, and look all directions. But there's only two directions you need to look in, right direction and wrong direction. And ask yourself the question, am I living the way God wants me to live? And sometimes we each need to take a self-inventory. And that self-inventory asks those questions of you. And you should ask those questions of you in that self-inventory. Am I living the way God wants me to live? Am I living righteously? Or am I just kind of making it through? Am I faking it to make it? So then when you have decided, when your inventory is completed, what mark will you give yourself? Will you give yourself the mark that says, I'm completed, I'm living the way God wants me to live? Or am I not living the way God wants me to live? Am I making a league with the devil? Am I making an agreement with the devil that I'm going to serve him and until I'm going to serve you, Satan, until Saturday evening? Then I'm going to stop serving you on Saturday evening and I'm going to start serving the Lord for the next 24 hours. I'm going to serve Him because it's His day. But you see, you can't do that. You've got to serve the Lord how many days in a week? 7. How many days do you need to serve the Lord? 7. How many times do you want the Lord to tell you what you need to do? All you have to do is open the book and read like it says in Revelation. Read the book and hear the words of the book. Hear the word. The Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved. Now I can open the Bible and I can sit down for a few minutes and I can read of it, but did I study it? I can read what's in the Bible, but did I accomplish what the Bible told me to do? Or am I just simply skating by on thin ice, by the way? And if you're skating by, that ice is so thin that one day it's going to break. And when that ice breaks, you're going to fall in. And when you fall in, sometimes you can't get out. So ask yourself the question this morning, Lord, show me the way. Lord, will you show me the way? That makes it a question. So if this is your desire, we're about to stand and sing the song of invitation. We're going to sing the song of invitation, and if you need to come forward, if you haven't been living right, but you are already a Christian, you've already heard the gospel, believed and repented, confessed, and then were baptized, but some kind of way you walked astray, if you need to come forward. There is no shame in coming before the church, asking the church to help you get through whatever you're going through. There is no fault and no failure in the fact that you need God to help you. All of us need God to help Him, help each and every one of us. None of us can be immune to asking for God's help. Even the preacher, the elders, the deacons, all of the members of the church need help sometime or another. You know what the fault is, what fault I find? When you don't ask. If you don't ask, that means you think you got everything in hand. I know my time is up. I'm getting ready to move away. But when you don't ask, you that means you think you've got everything under control. And I'm here to tell you this morning, only God has complete control. This world is His. This world that we live in, He made it, He made everything in it and on it, and He made us. And one day we're not going to be on this earth anymore. And we're going to have to answer some tough questions. So you need to get yourself ready today. I need to get ready. You need to get ready. All of us need to get ready. And we must stay ready. Because we don't know the day nor the hour when that time will be called. And if we're called and we're in an unrighteous state, we're going to be before a just God. But we're going to Him in an unrighteous state. So ask yourself this one final question. Lord, will you help me? As we together stand and sing the song of invitation. Number